Their feeling that they had become men apart went beyond all of the questions and examinations. It ran deeper than that. There were things that only they would ever know, things that they would never really be able to share. They knew fear. There had been an even money chance that Eagle would fail to lift off the moon's surface, leaving Armstrong and Aldrin to wait for their air to run out, as Collins watched helplessly, and that was just the start of the nightmare scenarios. They had told reporters before their trip that they had tried not to think about dying. In an explosion during the launch, or after colliding with a meteor, or by sinking in quicksand to the center of the moon, or because of something more mundane, like an oxygen leak, a guidance system failure, an uncontrolled spin, a fuel line plug, a cracked valve, or some goddamn shark waiting open-mouthed in the South Pacific. But they were also realists, and despite their brave public faces, they had gone through their wills before they left. They knew, too, a terrible solitude. They had been planted in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a blackness that stripped them of any horizon. They were as alone as men had ever been, cast in what Aldrin called magnificent desolation, as if they had been sunk to the bottom of the ocean with only the sound of their breathing for company. Most unsettling of all, they knew longing, and for more than just their wives. From the moment they had left the moon, it rose in them like a tide, minute by minute, day by day. They thought it might subside once they were back in their living rooms, once their long wait was over. Michael Collins, the trio's least famous name but most public face, summed up the feelings of the group. "I want out," he said. At 9 o'clock in the evening on August 10th, 1969, they got their wish. At last they hugged their wives, smiled for the cameras, and headed home. They sat on their couches, and they put up their feet. A record amount of ticker tape would soon fall on them in New York City, the big blast kickoff to the rest of their now historic existences, lived out in the world's memory banks and on free luxury cruises in exchange for giving small talks. It would all be very fine. But it would never again be enough. Worst fears had come true. They really weren't like the rest of us.